I'm not Pentecostal, so I don't know what to do after those things. I almost feel like we just need to honor it for a second and just praise God. Can you just praise God for it? He's moving. We've been doing this series about things you shouldn't say, and as I teed off at the beginning, we shouldn't be saying you don't have enough faith. When I was in college, I was part of this touring group. We would sing all over the region, like Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, Indiana, Pennsylvania. We'd go all over in service of the Nazarene Church. Also, one time, we got to go on a mission trip to Europe. They were trying to plant churches in Europe, so they sent us over there to, actually, they didn't send us, like, we paid a lot of money to go. But we went to Hungary, Austria, Germany, Czech Republic. It was such a great concert. But what we would do, we would give testimonies and we would sing. We would just tell people about what God's doing in our lives. And we had this lady in our school, our choir, beautiful singer, amazing, but blind. She was blind. She even had seeing eye dog named Thatcher. And Janelle Dean was her name, is her name. She's still out there doing ministry now, singing. She and I sang duets together. She always made me sound so good. But her testimony was that she wasn't born blind. She was born with sight, and she remembers seeing things. And then she had some sort of degenerative disease that over time through her childhood, it robbed her of her sight. And she remembers a dear woman from her church telling her mom in her presence, "Your daughter's going blind because you do not have enough faith." Imagine that. Imagine that little girl hearing that, and what does she actually hear? You know, maybe she thinks, "Mom, just get some more faith, would ya?" You know? But imagine the horror for that mom to hear that, as if her mom had control over that situation. So we want to address that phrase today. We're going to look at it from a couple different perspectives. You don't have enough faith, a damaging thing that Christians say. I've wrestled with my faith from time to time. I've been concerned about it from time to time, but I think everybody should wrestle with their faith, and that feels like doubt, and it feels like maybe I don't have enough faith. Paul tells the Philippians, continue to work out your salvation, your faith, with fear and trembling. You got to work it out. You got to keep wrestling with it. You have to work it out. When I was a teenager, I was raised in a Christian home, went to Christian schools all the way through. My parents were very like concerned about us, so they put us in Christian schools. And yet, I still struggled with my faith because I thought at times, what if all of this is a lie? What if all this that we're doing is a lie? What if it's just some moral code that they have to get me to behave, and this whole eternity thing that they got dangling out there is just a lie? I'm missing out on a whole lot of sin in here. Could be having a lot more fun, you know. It's just, come on, guys, let's joke a little. Like, but when I thought those things, and then because I was concerned about all these things, I thought, oh, crap, clearly I don't have enough faith. I am going to go to hell just for asking these questions. It scared me. But even now, the older I get, the less tightly I hang on to those core beliefs that I was raised with. It used to be very black and white, and now everything seems to be some sort of shade of gray. And sometimes I wonder, is it because I don't have enough faith? When I was in middle school, I was invited to go along with my grandparents to Nova Scotia. It's a great big long trip. We drove up to Maine. We drove up around the Bay of Fundy and to Nova Scotia in Canada, and it took days and days to drive all the way around there. We were in a Suburban pulling a camper, and instead of driving back around, they decided let's take the ferry across the Bay of Fundy there, and we took the ferry across, and I was deathly afraid. I was so scared of that because, one, I don't enjoy swimming. I don't like going underwater. I'm not sure why humans go underwater because we breathe air. There's no air down there. We can't. So why do we do that? People do it, but I don't know why. So I don't like it, and I was afraid that this boat, we're going to get on this boat, we're gonna wreck, something's going to happen. I was scared, like, what if this thing sinks? What if that water's cold? What if there's sharks? What if those sharks are hungry? You know, like all of this is spinning out in my head. I was a nervous wreck the whole ride, but everybody else, they got out of their cars because, you know, you're in these cars, you drive onto a boat, then you can get out and walk around the deck and stuff. People walking around, they're sharing laughter and drinks and, oh, look how pretty the water is. Oh, look, there's the land. Oh, look, there's no land over there. Oh, look, there's no land over there. Now there's land over, you know, like they're just, and I'm like, don't you know we're going to die? All of us. And they were just so casual about everything. And you know what never happened? The captain of the ship never once came down to me and said, you know, son, you're right. Since you don't have enough faith that this vessel will hold together and see us to the other side, I'm going to turn around and we're going to go back and we're going to drop you off because you don't have enough faith in this boat. You also don't have enough faith in me as the captain of the ship to guide us to the other side, so probably you won't get to arrive to your destination because your faith in this thing is weak. So you don't get to go. He never said that. And eventually we all arrived to the same destination. And it turned out it wasn't my faith that was keeping the ship together. Who knew? It wasn't me that was giving the captain his skills and ability. It wasn't me that was putting all of this thing in motion. It wasn't me that made it to our destination. And it wasn't the fact that I had faith or not faith that got us to the other side. When someone says, you don't have enough faith, or they didn't have enough faith, or I don't have enough faith, what does it even mean? What do we mean when we say they don't have enough faith? What does enough mean? What is there enough faith to do? Enough faith to get a boat from one side of a sea to the other side of the sea? Enough faith to get you to heaven? Enough faith to heal a loved one? Enough faith for you to give generously? Enough faith to hold a snake like a viper up to your face? Like what are you trying to accomplish with your faith? Are you going to walk a bridge across a 1,000-foot ravine? Do you need enough faith to do that? Do you want to lick a door handle? Like what do you want enough faith to do? Do you want to go French kiss a COVID patient? What is it that you have enough faith to do? What are you trying to accomplish here? This is the problem with you don't have enough faith. It assumes that the amount of my faith or the size of my faith or the depth of my faith makes me in control of some sort of situation. So I can control this because I have faith. I think you see where we're going with this. It presumes that my faith keeps the ship from sinking. It's my faith that gives the captain expertise. It's my faith that's powering the boat. It's my faith that keeps the little girl from going blind. So let's talk about what faith actually is and what faith actually does. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 gives us a really solid definition of it. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Faith is the assurance of things that you hope for. It's a conviction of things you cannot see. There's no better definition of faith than that. The author goes on, it's by faith we understand that the universe was created. Everything that we see was created out of something we cannot see. Right? That's the biblical view of creationism. It takes faith to believe that what we now see was made out of something that we do not see. Is your faith like deep enough to believe that? Actually, science has proved it out. It's all made out of something that we cannot see. I mean, now they can see some of those things with microscopes and these giant scientific machines, they can finally start to see some of those things, but we had to have faith that God created this universe out of nothing. But even more so, is your faith such that you have an assurance of things that you hope for and a conviction of things you cannot see? That's all faith is. And so, do you have enough of that? Is there enough of that? What are you hoping for? What is your assurance in? What is the thing you're confident in? The author of Hebrews goes on in chapter 11 to talk about the hall of faith is like all these people who had lived a good and faithful life. And then he goes into chapter 12, and he draws it all together. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all those saints and giants of the faith he just talked about that we did not read, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Since we have all this faith, let us lay aside our sin. Let's do something about it. Let us lay aside our sin. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We're going to look to Jesus, the founder, the author, the starter, the perfecter, the completer, the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author and the perfecter. He's the starter, the completer. He's the beginning and the end of our faith. It says perfecter of our faith. It's an unfortunate translation in English because when we think perfection, we think it's all good. Like there's no imperfection in it. But what he's saying here, it's perfected. It's made complete. It's whole. There's nothing lacking. We know that we don't have perfect faith all the time. I've talked about it already. I've had doubts. I still have doubts about things. That doesn't look so perfect. But what God is doing through those doubts is perfecting, completing the faith that I have in God. So it means complete, a finisher. Jesus starts and completes our faith. He finishes our faith. It's Jesus who gives us our faith. It's Jesus who grows our faith, who deepens our faith, and it's Jesus who finishes our faith. So on the one hand, do you have enough faith? It's Jesus' responsibility. That's on Jesus to give us that faith. The only thing we can do is put ourselves in a position for Jesus to grow our faith. Okay? Now, the problem with that is sometimes we go through hard times, and that's how we deepen our faith. That's how we get there often. But our faith doesn't power the ship. It doesn't keep the ship together. Jesus does that. So let's look at an instance with Jesus. Here's Luke chapter 5, 12 through 14. While he was in one of the cities, talking about Jesus there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and he begged him, "Lord, if you will, come, make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and he touched him and said, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. He just tells them, you got to go to the priest to show that you're clean because that was a societal rule. He was ostracized from the city. In fact, he took a big risk to come to the city. Lepers were meant to be outside of town. They were quarantined outside of town. So he came into town at some great risk because they could stone him if they wanted to. They could kill him for just being in town. But look at his level of faith. "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." I don't think that sounds like great deep faith, does it? He's like, hey, can you, if you can, would you? Like, maybe sort of, like, would you? I know you can. I've seen you do it. But I don't know if you'll do it for me. So, would you maybe? And that's really kind of like how all of my prayers are. Hey, creator of the universe, I know you can. Would you maybe kind of think about why not making this happen? You know, like that's kind of like, hey, while you're at it, maybe you should just think about it. But guess what? This guy, this leper, had just enough faith. Something was there, right? He had just enough faith, and Jesus made him clean. What I'm trying to show here is like, it doesn't require a deep level of faith. Like Jesus isn't showing them like, you ain't got enough. Now we'll talk about one where it's a little different, but he's not requiring a deep level of faith here. He's basically saying to this guy, if you think I can, then I will. If you think it, then I will. Here's another example, Matthew 17. Another guy comes to Jesus, this time with his son who has seizures. He suffers greatly from them. Sometimes he throws himself into fire. Sometimes he throws himself into water. He tells Jesus that the disciples can't heal the boy. Okay, so Jesus' 12 guys that have been following around for a couple years, they're unable to heal him. This is Matthew 17, 20. Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. You don't have enough because you have so little. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move over there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So for Jesus, apparently there was some level of requirement of faith, a deep enough level of faith to be able to accomplish this miracle. But even so, it doesn't take much. How big is a mustard seed? Here's a slide. I'll show you. Here's a penny. And then you see the dots over there on the side? Those are sizes of mustard seeds relative to a penny. Actually, if you were to like get by this screen, that circle is pretty big. But think of a penny. You know, it's very small. It doesn't take much. It's small. They're so small that I actually have a hard time holding them because these old fat fingers of mine, like I can't even feel it in there, and then I ended up dropping those things. But it doesn't take much. So what do we do with the phrase, you don't have enough faith? I'd like to say that phrase is complete garbage. I'd like to say that there's no minimum level requirement of faith. Like, it doesn't matter. But I think it does. Jesus seems to have some minimum level of requirement to do some pretty big, amazing things, like move a mountain. You can't start or complete your faith, though. Jesus does that. Jesus starts and completes your faith. Ask the Hebrews author about that. You can't heal anyone. You can't. You don't do that. Jesus does that. Ask the leper. You can't save yourself or anybody else. Who does it? Jesus does that. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you've been saved through faith, not by your works so that anybody could boast. Your faith doesn't save you. God saves you by God's grace. But like I said, it takes just a tiny little bit of faith to believe that. It really doesn't take much faith at all. A mustard seed sized. Do you have anything? Jesus is just saying, do you got any in there? Do you have the tiniest little bit? Is there any possibility that you think Jesus could include you in his kingdom? That's all it takes. Because he wants to include you. But then I think, well, I've never moved any mountains. Have you? Anybody in here moved a mountain? I'm going to say that's no. I've not seen it. I've seen excavators do it with bulldozers, and it takes weeks and months, maybe years, to move an entire mountain's worth of dirt and rock. None of us have moved any mountains. Maybe none of us even have enough, like, the size of a mustard seed, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe we're not asking the right questions. Hey, God, can you move that mountain? Maybe Jesus wasn't talking about a literal mountain. Maybe he's talking about mountains in your life. Maybe he's talking about giant obstacles in your life that, God, can you move this huge thing in my life and turn my life around and make me see you instead of see this mountain? Maybe he's just talking about that. How many of you have seen that in your life? Amen. Amen. Maybe there is enough faith in here after all. I think saving faith doesn't need to be all that deep, but it's a growing, strengthening, deepening faith that will cause you to do something in response to the grace you've been given and the faith that you have. Here's James chapter 2, 14 through 18. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but he does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, if you have faith and I have works, show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. All of this reminded me of a story. I was observing this. A well-meaning church lady was helping somebody who was clearly in need. The church lady said, "Anything you need, you let me know, and I'll get it for you." And the person said, "I'm hungry." And the lady kind of chuckled, and she said, no, actually, I'm hungry. And she literally said, "I'll pray for you." And I'm like, I guess I'll give them some food, but I didn't make the offer. You did. Where's your faith? I think faith should lead you to do something. Faith leads us to do something. Works don't save you. Works are a response. They're a result of our faith. So your faith should be leading you to do something, to show your growing faith. So if it looks like if you don't have a deepening faith, if you don't have a growing faith that is leading you to do something, then perhaps you have a dead faith. So the question is my faith deep enough? The phrase is, your faith wasn't deep enough or wasn't enough. I don't know what that level is for you, because I don't know what your faith is leading you to do. I saw a clip this week of Bishop T.D. Jakes, and he was talking about prayer. He said, people will pray for a table, not realizing that God doesn't build tables. He's not in the table building business. We want God to do something that God doesn't do. God doesn't build tables. God grows trees. And he expects us to build a table. You have faith to see the tree, and then you have enough faith to go do something about it. Prayer awakens our responsibilities in life. Prayer doesn't magically give you a table. Prayer reveals the trees in your life so that you can go build the table. Prayer awakens us. And when people say you don't have enough faith, they're saying your faith should have made it so that you have a table magically appearing in your house, at your doorstep. And the reality is your faith should awaken you to the tree so that you can do something and build the table on your own. So what's the result of your faith in this life? What are you trying to accomplish? What do you want to do? What is it that your faith is you're expecting of your faith? Now, I'm not talking about when you die, because oftentimes we're like, do you have enough faith to get your ticket punched so that you can go to heaven? That's really what Christianity has like devolved to, which is what happens when you die. No, it's much more than that. Is your faith leading you to be effective for the kingdom, to do something? Is your faith leading you to walk humbly, to love kindness, to do justice? Is your faith leading you to give generously? Is your faith leading you to pray more fervently? Is your faith leading you to hunger and thirst for righteousness? Is your faith leading you to mourn with those who mourn and turn the other cheek and live out a call to the kingdom that Jesus gives us in the Sermon on the Mount? The list could go on and on and on and on, how we can be faith-filled, faithful members of Jesus' kingdom here on earth. Do you have enough faith? Do you? I can't answer that question for you. I'll give you some possibilities. Do you have enough faith? Is it deep enough to be saved? Probably. Probably. I mean, all you got to do is call out for Jesus. He does that for you. Is it deep enough to not become complacent? I don't know. Are you growing? Are you seeing signs of change in your life? Are you trusting Jesus for more and more in your life? Is it deep enough? Do you have enough faith to be led to do things as a result of your faith and salvation? And that's up to you. Are you going to take next steps in the growth of your faith? I can't answer that for you. I can tell you we probably shouldn't say that phrase anymore, because we're using it all wrong. Do you have enough faith? I hope the answer is yes, because most of the time getting a stronger faith involves going through a very difficult time, because that's where we grow in our faith most often. But I'll leave you with these questions. What is the result of your faith that you are looking for? If somebody is questioning you, you don't have enough faith, or you feel like, I don't think I have enough faith, what is the result you're looking for? What is it you're trying to find out? If you're questioning that, I'd say enough for what? Enough to do what? What are the results you're looking for? What is God leading you to do? And how are you to respond to the stirring up of faith within you? Only you can answer that. Please stop saying and accusing other people of not having enough faith. And stop accusing yourself, saying, I don't have enough faith. Instead, ask this of yourself, what do I have enough faith to do? What is it I'm looking for in my faith? Let us pray. God, we know that you've given us enough faith. It's all there. It's right at our fingertips. All we need to do is access it and claim it. And so, God, we put ourselves to you to identify in our hearts, to line up in our life the places where we can exercise that deeper faith so that we can show to ourselves we've got enough faith to do this. If we have enough faith to do that, we have enough faith to keep going and keep growing in your kingdom. May we never question somebody else's level of faith, but may we continue to deepen our own, and may you deepen that within us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with one more song. We invite you to join us in that. I know some people have to go, but if you need to go, just do that quietly. But otherwise, sing with us. We're going to reprise that last song at the end. And we just ask that you continue in an attitude of prayer in these moments.